Welcome to another inspiring Sister's Message. We hope you are blessed by this ministry.
So as I begin this evening, you know, since I was a little girl, I had the privilege of my father being a naval officer and us living a little bit kind of in the wild in Cape Town on Signal Hill, where the noon gun was fired. And there used to be in those days, I'm in my 60s now, so it's long time ago, decades ago, you won't see this today if should you go there. There were little deer and there were lots of birds. And, you know, and as a little girl, I used to be very attracted to the birds. I used to love birds. I'm not a keeper of birds. Personally, I love to see birds out in the open. Where I live now, I have my little binoculars on a cabinet right next to the window in my bathroom so that when I'm busy brushing my teeth and I check and I see birds, I grab that thingy and I quickly look and I spy on these birds because I'm fascinated by them. They are just so beautiful. The other day, I thought I saw two blue cranes. Now, listen, an expert will laugh at me and say, oh, please, that could never have been. But I thought to myself, do you remember the old 5-cent coins that we used to get? There used to be like a blue crane on it. And I thought, that thing's neck is so long. What else can it be but a blue crane? Well, let's watch a little DVD of little birds tonight. Those were little sparrows, and tonight we had a song about his eye is on the sparrow. And in Matthew 10:29 to 31, the Bible says, "What is the price of two sparrows? One copper coin? But not a single sparrow can fall to the ground without your Father knowing it. And the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows." Do you know, I know this, and I've read it, and my one-year Bible is going strong the way I'm doing it. Because sometimes I don't want to read one verse or one chapter. I want to go 5 chapters. But I know this verse so well, but you know, I meditated on it and I just thought, why did Jesus choose to compare our worth to a sparrow? Why didn't he say, you know what, chicks, you like diamonds and rubies and gold and silver, you know, you're much more valuable than that. But you know, it does say that in Proverbs 31, your worth is far above diamonds and rubies. It does say that, but in this passage, Jesus is speaking about sparrows to reveal the fact that God's eye is on the smallest things, and he cares about the smallest things. How much more does he not care about you and me? Amen? And you know, sometimes, I don't know if you fall into this trap that I do, sometimes I pray about a small thing because it's not world-changing. Lord, let there be a parking bay at Benmore when I go because it's lunchtime and it's crunch time and I'm already running. You know, or Lord, you know, whatever it may be, you know, let there be organic spinach for a change. You know, it's not going to change the world, But sometimes we think that our little prayers don't mean anything to God. But here it tells me his eyes on the smallest thing on the planet. And not a bird falls to the ground that he's not aware of. How much more us? So we can come to him with our heart-wrenching cries when we are in a bad place. Or we can come to him with the silly things. Like, can that nail polish be in stock for a change? By the way, I didn't choose this color. How this happened, I actually don't know. I know, I'm like, wow, 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 wow. But seriously, girls, you know, I prayed about this evening as I always do, and I just realized something. You know, we're all at different places. You know, you could be here tonight and you're on top of the world. Things are looking fantastic. Doors are opening for you. And it just seems like this is your year. This is 2017 is your year. There are others who are here and you're in a state of despair. You are discouraged. You might even be slightly depressed. Things are not going the way that, you know, you would like it to go. Just hang in there because his eye is on you. And tonight, the message is his eye is on us. And I'm not bringing a message that's going to condemn you and say, hey, listen, when you pull that cigarette out that you promised you're not going to smoke anymore, his eye's on you. It's not that kind of message. His eye is on us for our good because he can't take his eyes off us. He loves us. He cares about us. And sometimes we go through challenges and difficulties. He never promised that we're going to have a cushy life. Have you noticed it's a very hard world to live in? You know, it's a beautiful world, and it's when things are going well, we're on top of the world, but things don't always go according to our plans. Amen? So my first thought this evening is his eyes are tenderly focused on us. If you think about that, focused, like don't distract me, man, I'm focusing. I'm looking at my child, I'm looking at my daughter, don't distract me, amen? And then in Psalm 139, verse 16, a verse that we know so, so well for those of us who've walked with the Lord for a long time, it says, the psalmist, this is King David. Don't you love King David? He's just an amazing poet, psalmist, and lover of God. And he says, your eyes saw my unformed substance in your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them. You know what this tells me? That God is a bookkeeper. That every time a child is born, no matter how that child is conceived, God has a book. And it's the book of life on the earth for us, for you and I. And he makes a note. And he stands to attention. Every baby that is born, forgive me if you're not pro-life tonight. I still love you. But Jesus needs to help you because in this verse, it tells me that if Jesus saw my every day before I was even born, we can't interrupt it. We can't accept that our lives can just be cut off in the womb. Amen? And so this is not a pro-life message, but it makes you think. You know, when you read the word and you meditate, you get the heart of God. You ask God when you read the word and you read a verse, Lord, what are you actually saying? What is it that you are saying? That before I was even born, before my mother gave birth to me, you had major plans and you had your eye on me. And I had value in your eyes. No matter what the world thinks of me, no matter if I'm perfect in their eyes, but according to you, I was wonderfully and fearfully made and conceived in secret as you planned it in the first place. Amen? That means sex. And that means God knows about it. And that means he's the author of it. And that means he was there when you were conceived. Amen? Say no more, because I could say more. The point is, it is noted when a child is born. It is noted. Amen? And it is written down in a book. Man, how awesome is that? Are there any bookkeepers here tonight? Any bookkeepers? People who work with figures? Important, hey. that you note things and you write them down for the record. We are on God's record as having mattered, as having been born. You know what I want to do tonight? Because I had a different message planned, and then Pastor Andre preached on responsibility. And I knew it was coming because I did know about that. Because most times I don't know what is coming. I don't want to know what is coming because I also want to be blessed like you in the services. That's what I mean. In case you think, I don't know what you think I mean, but that's what I mean. So, I meditated again and asked God to show me what would be the best first message for the girls, the daughters in the house this year. And I just felt like God wanted us to sit on his lap. And he just wants to stroke our heads tonight. Now, I don't do very well with stroking messages because I am a stretching person. I stretch people. Ask the girls on staff. Things are not just summer like that. It's got to be better. It's got to be find a way to win better. Amen? But tonight, we're all off the hook. And we're all sitting on our dad's lap. And he's stroking our heads. And he's saying, I was there when you were born. And I was there when you were conceived. And you know what? The days before you, I made a note of them before you were even born. You're going to be an amazing father, mother, daughter. You are going to be a follower of Jesus Christ. You're going to speak my word. You're going to touch lives. You don't even know it. And you didn't even know it. You didn't even know what was in you. Do you know there's so much treasure in us? And our Father God in heaven is saying, you have no idea. Do you know that I'm a late bloomer? I had so many issues in terms of growing up in a home with five brothers, being the only girl, and having to become an actual tomboy to keep up with the Joneses in my family. Now, I told you where I grew up. So we lived in the wilds among the deer and the birds and the snakes and the scorpions. And I had issues because I felt different from other girls when I went to school. I didn't grow up in a normal neighborhood. And so I never felt good enough. I never felt normal. I never felt that, you know, I could be equal to other people. Not that you think about that. You don't think I want to be equal or just as good as you. You just feel unequal. Do you know what I'm saying? You just feel that much better than me. It took me a long time to understand what was in me, what can come through me. We are vessels. Do we understand that? We are vessels that God wants to pour himself into us, the Holy Spirit in us, working through us to do amazing things. And we all do different things. They're hairdressers. They're cake bakers. There are people who ice the cake. There are dressmakers. There are designers. Amen. There are speakers. There are lawyers. There are doctors. You name it. We all play a part. No one better or more important than the other. We all make it beautiful. Amen. We all make the world beautiful by that which we are called to do, as long as we help others and as long as we make it better for ourselves and others. Amen. And so, our little thingy there, our dot there, we are the objects of his affection. We may not think it when we look at the things that are going on in the world. We look at Syria, we look at human trafficking, we look at all kinds of violence. Pastor Andre was telling me this morning that over 200 people have already been killed this month alone in Paday, in Chicago. So over 200 people have been killed, shot in Chicago. And we look at all of the hardship in the world and the things that you can't even imagine that's happening behind closed doors. Yet God has got his eye on us. He's our Father in heaven. Amen. And we are the objects of his affection. Isaiah 43:4 says, you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. How nice is this translation? You are precious and honored. Say to the person next to you, you are honored. You're honored. God's word says it. You are honored. Amen. And God loves us. Number two, the eyes of our Father are attentive to us. it may sound like it's saying the same thing, but I'm expounding a little bit. 1 Peter 3:12 says, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer." You see, God's eye is on us. His eyes are on the righteous, those who call on his name, who depend on him, right? And, you know, perhaps you're here tonight and you're saying, but you know what, where was God when someone that I loved was so cruelly taken away from me? Now, where was God when my husband abandoned me and our children? And right now he's not even paying child support and I'm just having to scrape the pennies together. Where was God when this happened? Where was God during the apartheid era where people were treated like animals, chased and hurt and put in prison? Where was God? Amen? Well, God was there weeping with you. God was there weeping with you. We see there was a Holocaust. There were the Jews, God's chosen people, 6 million of them, burned, killed, destroyed. Awful things happening on the earth. Where was God? He was there weeping. Amen? He was there feeling the pain. Because you know why? Life's not fair, but God is good. You know, in May the 20th, in 2013, an EF tornado ripped through Moore, Oklahoma. The magnitude of devastation measured over 8 times greater than the atomic bomb that leveled Hiroshima. That's insane. As the world watched, one question continued to surface: where was God? Let's turn our eyes to the screens one more time.
And you see, it's a violent tornado. This is a tornado.
I've seen tornadoes that big, and I know what size of a tornado that people start dying in, and this was it.
And about the time we think we know something, there's always a surprise. We find out how little we do know.
We knew there were children missing. Well, when you have children missing in rubble, you know it's not going to be good news.
I'm thinking my son's in that school.
They were terrified. They didn't know if they were going to be able to see the light of day ever again.
My dad was holding the building. When he heard that everybody had gotten out of the building, he took his last breath. But he didn't forget to tell us that he loved us.
There is not a single thing that we could ever go through that our Heavenly Father does not understand. And there is not a single dark place that he has not already walked.
I literally just squeezed my eyes shut and I buried myself on top of those kids.
There is no doubt in my mind that God is in the city.
I wanted a fresh start. I wanted a new beginning.
Amen. That is a trailer from a movie called Where Was God? I'd love to see it, and so maybe we can find it on Netflix sometime. So where was God? You know, in Isaiah 43:2, God says, "When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you." You know, no matter what we've lost or who we've lost or what has happened to us, seasons do come and seasons do go. And one thing I do know is when God makes a promise, it will be a promise that he will keep. When he says, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you," we need to accept it. Even if the heavens do feel like brass, even though we're crying out to God and we're crying our pillows wet at night, but, you know, and we feel God is not hearing, we need to trust God and understand sometimes there's a process, sometimes there's just that season that is tough, but we will get through it. You know, God will turn our mourning into dancing. As you sit on his lap tonight, that's his word to you. If you are mourning tonight, He will turn it into dancing. The only time when it doesn't happen is when we choose for it not to happen. Amen? There's a time for everything under heaven, he says. And we've got to realize this is the world we live in. Amen? We don't live in a bubble. We live in a world where things can go wrong. But in the midst of tragedy, you know, in the midst of people having suffered real loss and sadness in their life, they will again come through with the help of God. God going before them, God behind them, amen, God holding their hands, and God encouraging us to keep going and to keep running our race. Number three, the eyes of our Father are searching to support us. Have you ever searched for your child in a crowd? Isn't that an awful feeling? Oh, she was here a moment ago. Where's Simone? I can hear myself saying it. Where's Simone? Where's Simone? She's 28 now. Where's Simi? You know, because you want to focus on your children and you want to make sure they're safe and you want to support them. Make sure they don't fall and hurt themselves. I love this. 2 Chronicles 16:9, it says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to give support, strong support to those whose heart is blameless towards him." You know what? God is flat out looking for people to support. That is you and I. If our hearts are blameless toward him, amen? He never tires of picking out his children in the crowd. He never tires of that. And you know what? He also reminds us in his word. You know, the word of God is a gift. The word of God is a gift to us. Don't read the word in places, if you're going to flip your Bible, in places where it's like, I don't think I'm ever going to read this because so-and-so killed so-and-so, and then the armies came and so-and-so fell on their sword. And no, you know what? When I first gave my heart to the Lord, I was encouraged to read, first of all, the four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then to go into Psalms, and then to go into Proverbs, and then to go into Genesis. And then when it came to the more difficult parts, I had to become more mature as a Christian, as a believer. That's why we encourage you with 1 year Bible, girls. And can I just remind you, I just spotted this. We've got some resources if you're trying to make sense of your trouble and your trials, and you are saying, Lord, where were you when this happened? Where are you right now? This is a book called Limitless. Your past is a memory. God makes all things new. Jensen Franklin. The Battle Belongs to the Lord by Joyce Meyer. Always good resources. And this one I love, You'll Get Through This by Max Lucado. So if you, this is not just like a plug for the Resource Center. You know, we should read. And we should resource ourselves and listen to other people's troubles and journeys and struggles and encourage ourselves with it. Amen. And so the Word of God is a blessing to us because God has gifted us with women role models. In your notes, these women are gifts to us. These are women in the Word that you know very well, but have you ever thought of them as role models to your situation and a gift to you in the difficulty that you might be facing? So the first one is, he's given us Deborah so that when we are a woman in a man's world, in business, or wherever you find yourself, we can remember to rise up and conquer. She was a conqueror. She was a woman in a man's world, and she made a difference, and she won a victory. Amen? He has given us Ruth so that when we are widowed at a young age and in a dark place, we can have hope that a Boaz might find us and rescue us for the purposes of God. Because Ruth didn't just have a Boaz. There was the purposes of God. The line of the Messiah was coming through there. Amen? We know that. And so, just quite amazing. And he has given us Hannah so that when we find ourselves barren, we can ask and believe for a child. Amen? And he's given us Rahab so that if we are caught up in a lifestyle of having had many men, the God of Israel can rescue us and give us dignity. Amen? What amazing gifts from God's word. Amen? And then number four, the eyes of the Lord are like the eyes of a parent. Like the eyes of a parent. You know, God is a parent. He is our Father. He is supreme. He's Almighty God. He is holy. Amen? But because of our relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, We are welcome to sit on his lap as we are doing tonight and to just realize the value that we have as his children and that he's got his eye on us, that he doesn't miss a beat. Don't ever think that God does not know what's going on in your life. Deuteronomy 8 verse 5 says, think about it. Just as a parent disciplines a child, the Lord your God disciplines you for your own good. That just tells us that he does help us along the way to walk a straight line, amen, to walk the narrow way with him. But tonight, as you are lying in the arms of your father and he's stroking your head right now, he adores you. And do you think he's going to remind you of all the naughty things that you have done? What parent does that? What parent says, do you remember when you dropped that milk in the kitchen and we all slipped and slid around, you know? Do you remember that time when you were so cheeky to me? When you're having an intimate moment with your child, a parent would never, ever do that. And God is a much, much better parent than any earthly mother or father. So never will he do that. Tonight, as we sit on his lap, he is just loving on us, amen? And he's just reminding us of all the good things that he wants to do for us and through us. So in another gap, if God can get past your past, so must you. Stop beating yourself up. Stop it. Stop saying, oh, I remember that time when I did that. When I said that, I embarrassed myself. Look, we all struggle. We have our struggles with these things. But you know what? There's a sea of forgetfulness. And if we have done things that have not pleased our Father, it's called sin in the Word of God. If we have sinned against God and we have confessed it, right, let it go. God then takes it and he gets rid of it as far as the east is from the west. And we must stop it. We must stop playing the game that the enemy wants us to play with our minds. Amen? We must be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And anytime that thing comes knocking, say, hey, I'm a new creation. I've so moved on from there. I'm on brave new heights with my God. Amen? Amen. Number five, our last thought this evening. His eye is on us for a great purpose. And I have alluded to that this evening already. And I've got this wonderful passage, Ephesians 1, 11 to 12 from the Message Bible, and I just love the way that it is written. It says, it's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. We find meaning and purpose in Christ, amen? Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eye on us. How cool is that? Long before we knew about him, long before we knew there was a God in heaven who loved us and cared about us, long before we got our hopes up, like, there must be something out there or someone out there that can help me. It says he had designs on us for glorious living, part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and everyone. You know, in Romans 12, verse 2 in the Message Bible, it says that God wants to bring the best out in us. Can we remember that? God wants to bring the best out in us. And I think it goes as far as how we present ourselves in public, even when we're walking along in the supermarket with a smile. You first? Are you first? Can I help you with that? You know, it's the little things that count. It's the little things that makes a difference. We are not here, as we come to a close, to occupy space. We must fill our space with fruitfulness, with kindness, with goodness. We need to touch lives. I love touching people. I love hugging people. I've gotten better at it. Because it's generosity that does that. It's an acknowledgement. Oh, there you are. Not here I am. There you are. We need to proclaim him by our lifestyle, how we live and how we give, how we honor and respect God and people. We are here to run our race with perseverance and keep running in our own lane, amen? Not in someone else's lane. Our purpose on earth, for what our career may look like, what our gifting may look like, what our calling may look like, will be different from other people. So let's keep running our race and in our own lane. And our purpose, most importantly, girls, is to worship God and to enjoy Him forever. So let's fix our eyes on the eyes of God and remember our purpose. I trust that you will help this evening.
Thank you for listening. We hope you were blessed and inspired by this ministry.